Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And good evening, good morning, and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, where it is a Saturday right now, and will soon be a Saturday here. And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where every night we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. A speedball of hillbilly humor, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth.
Yeah.
Is our bitch. Thank you. Bud Dickman is with us along with Robert Leonard, and they'll be here in our news and information hour. A reminder, we're online every night at philhendryshow.com. So if you are traveling out of the range of a radio station, or your radio station, for whatever reason, isn't coming in too clear on any given night, maybe it isn't exactly making it down to the Burger King like it usually does. Maybe it's stopping cold there at Jerry's mailbox. All right, I'm just joking around. In any event, get a backstage pass, and you can watch live streaming video of our show as well at philhendryshow.com. Episode 8 of the free Phil Hendry podcast is now available. Hit the banner on our homepage at philhendryshow.com, which will take you to downloads of our episode 8 of the free Phil Hendry podcast, as well as all 7 of the preceding episodes. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going to join us in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to talk about a story. These are always dicey stories from, well, a couple of standpoints. There's the moral considerations. There's the legal considerations. And maybe the truth sometimes falls somewhere in between. And I know people who feel strongly about these kinds of stories, they know how they feel, and they're very, very definite. So there's a real there's a real dividing line. The story is this, and it's from... What happened to my glasses, bud?
You came down with them or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, you've been squinting a lot lately.
I know I squint because I ain't got my glasses. Why didn't I bring my glasses with me? All right. Here is the story. It's in Skinner, Texas. Skinner is a place you can raise your cattle and chickens under the hot Texas sun, cool off with a bottle from the Lone Star State's oldest independent brewery, then go to bed knowing all your neighbors and believing that you'll be safe. But a few days ago, one of its trademark ranches turned into a crime scene. That's when a father spotted a man sexually assaulting his five-year-old five-year-old daughter.
Yeah, I've told you, man. You're right. You know all these ideas about it.
He spotted a man sexually assaulting his five-year-old daughter, then beat the alleged abuser to death. In a community that prides itself as being peaceful, a place where things like this just don't happen, there is a sweeping consensus that justice was served. One of the people, one of the neighbors, a man by the name of Velt, Michael James Velt, any father would have done that. Mr. Velt's son graduated with the father from Shiner High School in 2007, so this is a very young father. That's a man who's in his early 20s. And who now lives across the road from the ranch where the killing took place. Everybody is saying the father is justified. According to the Lavasca County Sheriff's Office, the 23-year-old father and his family were enjoying a barbecue last Saturday at their ranch on Shiner's outskirts, is the name of the town, where they keep horses and chickens. His young daughter had gone off toward the barn to feed the chickens. The child's grandfather, who isn't being named to protect the identity of his granddaughter, told the CNN affiliate KSAT... that the father, not the grandfather, but the father heard screaming and ran. He found a 47-year-old man in the act of sexually abusing his daughter. The father stopped the alleged abuser, then pounded him repeatedly in the head. I jumped the fence and saw the man on the ground, the grandfather said of what he first saw. At that point, I didn't know if he was dead or not. Authorities did, in fact, pronounce the alleged abuser dead. Lavaca County Precinct Judge Aileen Lyons said Monday the preliminary autopsy report shows he died from blunt force head and neck injuries, adding toxicology report results should be back in 6 weeks. Harmon described the victim as an acquaintance of the family known for his horse grooming abilities. He's not been publicly identified by authorities. The father himself called 911 telling them that his daughter's alleged abuser was lying beaten on the ground. Afterward, the sheriff said that he admitted that the admitted killer appeared very remorseful and didn't know the other man would die at the scene. Asked whether authorities would press charges against the father, the sheriff responded, "You have a right to defend your daughter." He acted in defense of this third person. Once the investigation is completed, we'll submit it to the district attorney, who then submits it to the grand jury, who will decide if they will indict him. Well, I just give an opinion here, and I don't want anybody to be angry at me. All right.
Well, what do you, I mean, you got to be careful, man.
What do you mean I got to be careful?
Well, just be careful what you say, because that man, he defended his daughter.
I know he would defended his daughter, okay? But my job as a, look, my job, I ain't got much of a job. It's to just basically fill up a few hours every night and hope and pray to the God of my parents' choice that people want to listen. That's my job. But as long as I got that job, in the best way I know how, I have to ask a couple of questions here. Like, for instance, where are the witnesses other than this guy?
What are you saying? You saying I got lying?
Yeah, see, that was why I was afraid to give you this story.
Oh, well, now wait just a minute.
No, I really, I'm afraid to do it.
Wait, no, hold on, and I don't want, we'll get Jay Santos on the line here in a minute. Do you understand what I'm saying here, man? In other words, we've got a guy who beat this man to death. He was very remorseful. I'm looking at the story here. And will they press charges? Bah, 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 boom. They're going to look at the investigation. Neighbors portrayed the father as hardworking, friendly, and polite, the type of guy who reliably addresses others as sir. He's not a violent guy. He's never been in any trouble in his life. He's a good, honest, hardworking kid. Most any violence is expected. Most any violence is unexpected in Shiner.
Well, what are you reading for? You said you think the guy may be guilty.
What? Shut up, bud. I got your opinion already, okay? What I'm telling you is this. All I'm saying is the following, and I understand the town standing behind a guy. If you know what? If this story is none of my business, man, if it didn't hit the national wire, but it did. If it was a local thing, and only a local thing, and CNN didn't pick it up, and the rest of the planet Earth wasn't talking about it, then I wouldn't talk about it, and I suppose it would go under the radar, and that's the end of that romance. But guess what, man? It's now a national story. It has national interest. We're talking about child abuse, sexual abuse, possibly, which is something that has bedeviled us and has become very much a topic of conversation and a top-of-mind thing with Americans. We're talking about a man defending his family. This, of course, I think I just said the S-word there, Dan, didn't I?
Man, you blew it, man.
I just said the S-word. That's how crazy you guys are getting me.
I didn't say the S-word. You did.
But you guys with your big, fat mouths... Did you dump it, Dan? I'd hate for you to get fired for not dumping. I'm kidding. Hey, dude, you wouldn't get fired for that. A whole lot worse has happened around here, let me tell you. I got a right, and I have an obligation, and I got a job to do, man, and that's to ask that question. This is a man in Shiner, Texas, who beat a man to death that he says... Because I don't see anything here about anybody else.
What about the little girl?
That's true. The little girl, yes. Then they will, I'm sure, in the most delicate way that they can, because they have ways of doing that. They have child psychologists that come in and they talk to the children, and they find ways of eliciting the information from a child without making it too traumatic. Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know this story, Jay, right?
As a matter of fact, we're at a barbecue here of the affiliated Citizen Auxiliary Police Agencies and some of the affiliated ancillary groups. This is our third annual barbecue, and it's been a topic of conversation for quite a few people here.
What are you guys saying?
Well, basically, I think I have to inform you at this time that most of us are in agreement with the man that did, unfortunately, beat the other guy up, and I guess he killed him. I have to, at this time, also just sort of half warn you and half tell you, Phil, and if you can hear, I'm a little bit nervous because you've always been very good to me and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, but I do want to warn you at this time to be careful of what you say.
And what are you talking about? What does that mean?
I've been talking about that.
Excuse me for a minute, Jay.
But
be quiet, because now I'm talking to the guest.
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm sorry, Phil, I just got to compose myself. What I'm talking about is what I just heard. I forget the man's name.
Bud Dickman?
Bud and Robert. both of them are echoing my concern, which is that this man beat a man to death who was assaulting his daughter, a five-year-old daughter, and you are coming on the radio now, and you're questioning whether or not there is truth in what that man or what happened. And
no, I'm not. I'm not.
No, I know what you're doing. You're now putting a question into the minds of people who are listening to you right now. I know what you're trying to do, Phil. I understand what you're trying to do, and I think probably even Dud and not Dud.
Bud Dickman.
My name's Bud.
All right, I'm sorry. I think with Bud and Robert, I think the two of them are trying to tell you we're talking about a father defending his daughter. Okay, it's a little five-year-old girl.
I understand that.
All right, if you understand that, why would you publicly put into the minds of listeners, some of whom may be very impressionable, and by that I mean not only children, but also there are adults who do not use their rational ability to discriminate and think clearly, as well as some other adults, you're going to put into their minds some doubt as whether or not that man had a right to do what he did. Or do what he did, I'm sorry.
Well, look, Jay, you sound like you are extremely nervous about this, and why is that? Is it because of your relationship with our radio show?
Well, you have people like you, you're popular, and for me to tell you that I have to put you on notice...
And what are you putting me on notice for?
I'm putting you on notice that if you continue to put doubt into... this is a free country, Phil. I understand that.
Yeah, it is.
All right, but you, what you're doing, I think, is there is a little bit of a public safety risk that you're doing now because you're saying maybe this man is not telling the entire truth of what is going on. And
so what does that do?
Well, what that does is you are hurting the security of that of the town of Shiner, and you're hurting a much... I think very well, you know, placed concern for security. You're weakening it, and you're making it weak by saying.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you here, Jake.
Go ahead, Phil.
We got to take a break. But what you're saying essentially is that I should not be questioning whether the man in Shiner, Texas, is telling the truth or not, because that inserts into the minds of some of my listeners and maybe into the public discussion. Doubt about whether a man even has the right to defend a five-year-old daughter.
That, and also it inserts into the discussion more the point you're calling, for the first time that I know about, you're calling this guy a liar.
I am not calling the man a liar.
Well, in all, yes, you are.
No, I am not.
In the minds of a lot of your listeners, you've already called him a liar. And I'm saying to you that I need to tell you that I got to stop that. I'm asking you to stop. Or I have to stop it and...
Hold the line here, Jay. Did you know that he was going to say this? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. He's taking exception to my comments, and I think they were very benign, that the man, this man in Texas that beat this man to death that he says was sexually abusing his daughter... that this man may have a little more explaining to do. Like, who were the other witnesses? What exactly was happening? Are we sure what happened is... what he says happened? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Jay Sandus in a moment here.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Tonight, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us from a National Auxiliary Police barbecue that they're having. Whereabouts is this, Jay?
Phil, right now we're in Tucson, Arizona. We've been talking to Mark Brockton. And as you know, Mark is with the Cactus Patrol. His brother Dave has been one of the founding members of the Tucson Desert Rat Squad.
What is the name of the group?
Well, you talking about the Brockton brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dave Brockton and Mark Brockton both founded both the the Tucson Deseret Squad and the Cactus Patrol. These are both citizens auxiliary police style ACs.
And you have been talking, and they're the hosts of this barbecue.
That's correct. They and Katrina is Mark's wife, and Dolly is Dave's wife, and they're a wonderful host. And we have been talking very much about this case.
Okay. You just said that you might have to either arrest me.
That is correct.
What are you going to arrest me for? Now, hold on. Before you answer that, I want to let the audience know, if they're just joining us, I expressed the opinion, and some of you may not be familiar with the story. It is of recent origin. A small Texas community, a small Texas town of Shiner, Texas, where a father, a 23-year-old father, walked in on someone allegedly sexually assaulting his 5-year-old daughter. The man was, the 23-year-old father grabbed this man, a 47-year-old groomer, I'm told, a man who works with grooming animals, whatever that, I guess you're, I don't know what you're doing if you're, I know what a dog groomer does, but.
It's just be a man who groom a horse's mane and that kind of thing.
Okay. Anyway, this man, the father beat this man to death. He did not intentionally. He did assault him and told the sheriff he didn't think he was, he didn't want to kill the man. He didn't think he'd kill him. Wasn't trying to, but that's in fact what happened. The town of Shiner, Texas is very much rallying around this man.
Phil, can I ask something?
Yeah.
Are you going to take the entire segment of this part of your show and just keep on talking, or am I going to get to, I don't know.
Are you going to get to what?
I'll tell him, Jake.
Yeah, go ahead.
He wants to know, are you going to talk? If you're all you're going to do is talk and he's supposed to listen, he wants to go get, you want to get something to drink, right?
Well, yeah, they have some cactus coolers over here, which is part of the Cactus Patrol. And
well, no. Whoa. Hold on for a minute here, man. I'm talking, and then, yeah, you can talk. What is that supposed to mean? You don't want to listen to me talk, huh?
Not enough if you're going to take the whole segment. I just wondered if you were going to take the whole segment.
No, why were you thinking that?
Because as I was listening to you, you were, it's like you're reading a book or something. I don't know.
As I said, Jay, I'm bringing the audience up to speed, the people that are listening.
No, I understand you're bringing them up to speed, but I think, Phil, what I've done here is I've given everybody, including yourself, a pretty good thumbnail sketch, of what's going on. And
well, there's more going on than just the thumbnail sketch of a father coming in and seeing a 5-year-old daughter being sexually assaulted. Number one, I want to know the answer to this question. Other than his word, who else was a witness to this? Number two, I'm not answering the question. I'm not saying there wasn't corroborating. I'm not saying anything, okay?
But you're putting into the minds of the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight a level of doubt that we cannot afford in a time of what we're doing right now. This is it's a period of American history where there is quite a bit of insecurity about families. And there's quite a bit of insecurity about the certainly safety of our children. And
do we have a problem with truth in this country?
We certainly do not, Phil.
Then what are we afraid of if a man or two or three, I'm not even saying I'm alone here, but if I or somebody else says, well, now wait just a second, do you mind if I collect some information here?
The information has been collected, Phil. What you're doing now is you are overanalyzing to the point where you want to put doubt in. In people's mind. The information is collected. The man walked in. There was a guy who was doing a filthy... You can well imagine what he was doing.
No, I cannot imagine what he was doing unless I know what he was doing. Okay?
And you have been told what he was doing.
Well, no, I haven't. I've been told by... There's a father, there's a grandfather, okay?
Right. That's the gentleman that you didn't mention. A grandfather... He came around the corner.
And he didn't see anything. He saw a guy laying on the ground. The grandfather reacted and came to the barn after the fact.
All right. So what?
So all I'm saying is, with the greatest of respect to the man, the man who assaulted, who killed this guy and was defending his daughter, we still live in a country of laws, and we got to determine what happened. There's got to be an inquest.
No, there isn't. Yes, there ordinarily would be an inquest if there was some difference of opinion, but everybody in this town has agreed See, what you're doing is you are, for the first time in this country in a long time, Phil, we can agree on something, and you are putting into that doubt. So we can't even agree on this story. And that's destructive on your part, I think.
All right, Jay Sanis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll be right back. 877-876-7445 as we talk about the Shiner, Texas story where a father killed a man that he said was sexually assaulting his five-year-old daughter. 877-876-Phil, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we are back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we discussed a story that has got a large portion of this country talking now, and that is the story of the man in Shiner, Texas, the 23-year-old father on a ranch. They were having a barbecue of some kind. The five-year-old daughter wandered off toward the barn. This is a family, I guess, that has a large ranch there. She wandered off toward the barn to either pet the animals or see the animals. The family heard a scream. The son went running. According to him, he saw a man, a 47-year-old man that works either on the ranch or is known to the family, sexually assaulting the daughter or abusing the daughter, according to Sheriff Micah Harmon of the local sheriff's agency. The father stopped the alleged abuser, then pounded him repeatedly in the head. The grandfather said that he jumped the fence and saw the man already on the ground. Jay Sanis is with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm just getting some background here, Jay.
Yeah, no, I know that, but I think what you're doing, Phil, is you are giving background that people are all well aware of, and I don't know that we need to keep hearing the... what I have to tell you, though, and I've been... You know, I just want you to know, at some point, you need to stop. And
what do I need to stop doing?
You need to stop inserting into the minds. This is a free country. You can say what you want to say. But
well, that's not the way you're making it sound, though.
No, I know. It's a free country, Phil, but I'm just trying to tell you that you are... Everyone is pretty much sees this the same way, and you're trying to weaken the effort of the sheriff and the associated law enforcement to help this man defend his daughter against this guy that's might, you know, want to rape her. I know he's dead now, but that's...
Yes, he is dead. He's dead, and I've only got the son's version of events.
Then why are all the people in this town agreed that he had a right, and how come everyone in America... See, that's what I'm... Everyone in America is agreed on this. And
well, you don't know that.
No, but what I'm saying, it's pretty much sure that everyone's going to say, you know, he did a right thing.
Except for Phil Hendry. And I'm not saying he did a wrong thing. I'm saying I don't know what happened.
Well,
and I think it's premature, the people in this town.
That, to me, that's insulting to tell people of that town. You go down to Shiner, Texas and tell them that. You go ahead and tell them that. In the Shiner, Texas, go into a barbershop or any place where people meet and say, hi, my name is Phil Hendry, and I come from Big City, California, and I just thought I'd fly down here, or you're not going to fly there because it's probably a long way from... I'd have to find out where the nearest airport is, but you fly into the nearest airport. And
it doesn't matter where I'm flying in. Are you asking me what I stand... Who knows? I may be on the radio down there. Maybe they've got an affiliate in Shiner, Texas.
Well, in that case, I think what you're doing is you are offending the sensibility of probably the entire town. And I think that's unfortunate.
877-876-PHIL. I don't mean to get angry, Jay, but increasingly I worry that what you're asking for is some kind of a consensus or unanimity of opinion, and there can't be any disagreement. Here is Alicia. Hello, Alicia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. It's evening time here.
Good evening.
In Anchorage, Alaska. And
yes,
I first heard about this story on your show, and I don't think that you're trying to put doubt in anybody's mind, just for the record. You're right. Questions should be answered, and answers need to be given. At the end of the day, everybody has the right to defend their child or any child, because if I was there, I wouldn't beat the man to death myself. That's a child. I need to defend that child. So I don't think that you're trying to put doubt in anybody's mind. I think that you're trying to make people think about what they're saying and not just follow what somebody else told them they believe. Because I've been listening to you two go back and forth, and you're basically both saying the same thing. It's just a communication barrier right now, because you're
ma'am,
not...
Ma'am, this is Jay Santos. I want to say something, Phil. Can I say?
Go ahead.
Ma'am, this is Jay Santos, and I want to say, I don't really think that I'm saying the same thing as Phil. For instance, what Phil is saying, and I think you should understand, if you, Alicia, is this lady's name?
Yes.
Alicia, if you killed a man who was... harming your child, Mr. Henry, and you came out of that barn and you said, thank God I did. I beat the guy to death. And Mr. Henry would be standing there saying, oh, yeah, well, how do we know? That'd be the first thing he'd say to you.
Wait, I don't think I'd be that rude.
Wait. So here's a woman that just defended her daughter's life, and the first thing Mr. Henry wants to say to Alicia is, oh, yeah, well, guess what? I don't believe you. And
I wouldn't put it that callously, all right?
That's essentially what you'd say. Are you ready, Alicia, are you ready to deal with Mr. Henry standing there and going, well, I don't know what happened, you say, but, you know.
Like I said, my cell phone battery's about to die, and I don't want to hang up on you guys, but I don't think Mr. Henry is saying that the man was wrong. I think that he just wants to know what happened in that barn, just like the rest. I mean, we here in Alaska would like to know what happened to that child. I mean... He did. I'm pretty sure that man didn't just go in there and beat that man to death for no reason at all. I'm pretty sure there was a reason.
Now, here's something to think about, Lisa.
Here he goes. Mr. Henry, I think you're not respecting sensibility.
Hold on for a minute. How do we know, because all we get is, how do we know this guy didn't have a personal problem with this older guy? How do we know he didn't see something? Hold on. How do we know he didn't see something that he thought was happening that wasn't happening? Maybe the man was, I don't know, interacting with the child in a way that wasn't sexual abuse. Maybe he was just talking or touching the child's hand, and maybe that just set the guy off. Do we know the psychological history of this guy?
This is exactly what I'm talking about. You are putting into the minds of listeners, now you're going to call this man that defended his daughter psychotic and everything like that. And
I'm not saying that. These are questions that have to be answered.
Oh, well, all right. Hey, Alicia, should we call Mr. Henry now Phil, you know, Sherlock Henry? I think we should call him Sherlock Henry. Don't you?
That's what call me here in Alaska, because I'm
just call you Sherlock Henry?
Henry.
I will call you.
Yep, I have to know
Doctor.
What happened, and I need to know, and I
all
make
right.
sure I
thank
question.
You. Thanks, Elisa. Hold on to your battery there, man. I want to die on you. Thanks for calling the show. 877-876-PHIL. You know, and I took that in stride.
Well, but she was laughing, too.
Yeah, I understand she was laughing. I think she was laughing with me and against you.
Phil, I don't think you see the lay of the land on this thing.
No, I heard exactly what she said. She said that she believes that my intentions here are simply to find out the truth, not to make anybody look bad.
Well, I think, Mr. Henry, when you say that, I started out the day today when I heard this story feeling pretty good. I wasn't feeling good about what happened to the man, but I felt good. Here's a story we're all going to be agreeing on, and the Citizens Auxiliary Police will get a lot of phone calls, and we'll probably get some interest from the media and, you know, talking to me about law enforcement, which is what I thought when we got your phone call. But now I'm on your program, and you and that lady are laughing at me because you're all, you know, you're the radio star, and I sound like I'm just some guy with a cleft palate, you know. And
what are you talking about?
You know what I'm saying? That I'm talking about a man defend his daughter. You're talking about that guy is possibly psycho. Everybody agree with you. How'd that happen? When we started out the day, everyone agreed basically with my point of view. And
what is this cleft palate thing?
Well, I think that theoretically, when a guest comes on a radio show and the host is all everyone likes him and I'm just a guest, I might as well just be someone. I shouldn't use cleft palate.
No, you shouldn't. It's got nothing to do with anything. But I'll tell you this. what I just said to that lady about the possibility. I didn't say it happened. I'm saying the possibility. I mean, we've seen it before. How long have we, you know, been around in this world of ours where we've seen time and again some story is told and we believe the story? We just let three kids out of jail in Memphis because everybody said, you know, those kids went into jail there in wherever the hell that was. What was that?
That's West Memphis, Mr. Harris. In Arkansas. It's not in, boy, did you blow that. That's not even nowhere near Memphis. And
yes, it is. It's West Memphis. The West Memphis 3 is what I'm talking about. These guys go to jail based upon a perception that is shared by the entire town, and it's got to be devil worshiping, and it's got to be this, and it's got to be that, and it's got to be something else, and nobody gives half a damn about evidence. Nobody gives a damn about anything. These cats go to jail for 18 years. Next thing you know, the whole thing is a butchered up police investigation from beginning to end. Even the DA and the state's attorney are a couple of scumbags that wouldn't know their job if it was in Braille, if they had it being read to them, if it was in crayon. And now we have a case. I'm not saying it's the same thing, but haven't we learned anything?
Yeah, we've learned something, Mr. Henry. We have learned the following thing, that we protect our children. Okay? And
well, I mean, Jake...
No, hold on. I'm listening to you. Now, you sue me. Okay? We protect the children. And when you're talking about what happened in West Memphis 3, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about a man who come in and see what he said he's seen.
Right. And with all respect to him...
Yeah, with all respect to him, you're calling him nothing more than a two-bit floor-flushing... chicken-stealing, egg-sucking liar. And
I did not say anything of the sort.
But that's the impression that you're giving people. And that's what I call, I think it's dirty pool. I think that there's a lot of Americans that care more about justice than that.
Oh, look at Jay. Do you understand anything of what I'm saying?
I understand that you want the truth, but I'm telling you, let's give a father benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying this of the citizens of Missouri Police.
Yeah, okay, that's a nice lockout.
Well, I wanted to tag it with that because I thought what I said was very strong.
Okay, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I don't believe me, folks. I'm asking questions that the cops will ask, a defense attorney would ask, a prosecutor should ask, and that is this. Okay, that's fine. That was your story, sir. Do we have anything that corroborates your story? Well, you got to understand... I got you. I understand. What was your relationship with the deceased? Did you know him? What had been the history of your relationship? Anyway, we'll talk more about it. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, and me. Phil Henry, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, as we talk here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about this Shiner, Texas situation. Jay is with the Auxiliary Police here in California, and we just had a caller asking Jay, and it's a fair question, what exactly is your, what are your credentials? Are you a...
I'm a Citizens Auxiliary Police officer. My credentials, I don't know what that means. I believe in law enforcement. I believe in protecting lives. I believe in saving lives. That's my credential, I think.
I understand that, but you're not, you don't have arrest powers.
Mr. Henry, we have the right to citizens' arrests under the Constitution of the United States of America. And I don't know if you heard about it or not. I'm sure you have them being, you know, I'm kidding around. It's facetious.
Facetious?
Yes. And, but I mean, what I'm saying is, we got a Constitution of America. And that gives me the right, as a citizen, to arrest, to, and everything like that. And if you've got a man who is, right now, I don't know where he is.
Well, I mean, the police are going to do an investigation. I don't think he's been arrested. The man was defending a 5-year-old daughter, according to him. He attacked a man and killed a man. He didn't mean to kill him, so that was inadvertent, but he did attack and physically assaulted a man who he claims was sexually assaulting his 5-year-old daughter. The 47-year-old man, and excuse me, just like, well, I better not make any comparisons here.
No, you, well, I know you're going to make a comparison to Trayvon Martin.
I did not make that comparison.
But that's what you were going to do, and you just made a mistake, because now that's going to put the audience on my side again. That's, in a lot of ways, that's what I needed to get the audience back on my side, because I knew that you had all these people that like you and think you're all this great host, and I need to get them on my side. And so
this isn't about you getting anybody on your side. It isn't about me getting anybody on my side. I didn't say Trayvon Martin.
That's what you were thinking, though. That's what you were thinking of Trayvon Martin.
I'm simply saying there's a man who we can't hear from. There's a man whose testimony will not be given. There's a man whose evidence will not be heard. That man is the man that's dead. So we won't be able to hear from him. He can't tell us what happened. We now have this father, as good a man as he is, defending his daughter, okay. But now that man, the killer of that man, speaks for that man. He says, well, you don't need to hear from him. Let me tell you what he was doing. The man himself, gone.
I'll tell you, to me, you are walking down a really thin line. You're going to fall off. You're walking on thin ice, and you're going to fall off the building. There is, in law machinery, there is something called guilty until proven innocent until proven guilty is what it is. And that's now what you're saying about that guy, the father.
He hasn't been charged with a crime, man. He hasn't been charged with a crime. 877-876-PHIL, Phil Henry Show, Jay Santos with me from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go to another phone call here, and let's talk to Roy. Hi, Roy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Yeah, listen, the man from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Henry has said, and I think it's wise... He said that the police need to conduct an investigation. Do you have anything against that?
I don't have anything against that. This is one of the reasons why we formed the Citizens Auxiliary Police, because we feel the police a lot of times drop a ball. And
I didn't hear that, what?
The police drop the ball.
The police drop the ball?
That's correct. We don't think police do things thoroughly. We don't think police do things, okay? How many times you've seen the police mess things up?
Okay, that's fine. And the next question, so you are not willing to wait for a police investigation?
I am certainly willing to wait a police investigation. I don't hold out high hopes that they're going to get any but
the manner in which you have communicating yourself to the audience here is so ridiculous. Your grammar, writer, you know, and so forth.
If you could, I can hear music in the background.
Yeah, Roy, if you can move into a quieter area.
Well, I'm not I'm taking my wife dancing for the first time in 6 months, and there's not a whole lot.
What are you taking your wife dancing and listening to a talk show?
I was listening to you, sir, as I came in on my radio.
On a car radio? How far into the club did you drive the car?
You know, your sense of humor, sir, is not going to do you, it's not going to help you in this discussion. Now, I'll ask you again, do you have a problem with the police conducting an investigation?
No, sir, I don't have any problem with the police conducting an investigation. I just don't think it's going to go good.
And why not?
Why don't you think so?
Why won't the police conduct a thorough investigation?
Because we've seen, Mr. Henry, more times than we want to know about how the police have butchered it up.
And what have the police butchered up, sir, if you could give us,
Well, you know what? You're right. They have butchered stuff up. The West Memphis 3 is what you said. That's why I say we should wait and get all the facts.
Well, the West Memphis 3 trial is which one is that?
That's the three kids that were...
They were devil worshippers. They said that they killed a little kid, and then they put him in jail. Now they let him out.
Oh, well, that was just botched police work there, so I'll grant you that. But that doesn't mean that every police agency is corrupt or incompetent. And I think what Mr. Henry has said is a prudent approach to say, well, let's wait. I don't think Mr. Henry is saying the police are incompetent. He's saying that the police...
No, that's exactly what he's saying. He's...
No, I'm not saying that at all, man. This man's right. I'm saying let's wait for the police investigation.
And what if the police investigation come out and say that guy...
Yes, sir, I'm having a hard time understanding you because you don't use words the way most people do. And
what do you mean?
Mr. Henry, you said, Mr. Henry, come out, say guy, and all of your way of communicating, it makes it doubly difficult for me because it makes me angry listening to how stupid you are, and at the same time, I'm trying to understand and give you dignity as a human being, and I think I might as well be trying to give dignity to a warthog. And
well, that hurts.
It may hurt. It may hurt bad.
I mean, it really hurts. It really hurts. It feels like I sat down on something and went, you know,
well...
Okay, thanks a lot, both gentlemen. We do have to take a break. I appreciate your input on this very, very explosive story, and we are going to continue covering it. You better believe, yes, sir, indeed, oh, yeah. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Lindsay Lohan, do you buy the exhaustion story? We'll be talking about that. And a New York surgeon shot and killed his ex-girlfriend at a hospital, then killed himself. We'll get into the details of that story and other fantastical things here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com.
I want to talk about that girl, too, the one that got shot.
No, we're all done with you.
Phil Hendry.
Don't you use the D word.
Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, you know, where life is, it's a beautiful thing over at philhendryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, then you have access to all of our audio, which goes back over 10 years. You have access to our video archives. We keep a five-day archive up, and we're going to begin to expand that, but for now, just the five-day archive. We also have a year's worth of our Saturday night shows that are both archived video as well as audio, and that's a show we don't do anymore, so that's a...
That's a rare find as well.
And, of course, we have our nightly video cast, and we keep an archive of that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What were we talking about, Dan? Can you refresh? Because Bud and Robert are out of the room. What was the story? Oh, the guy, Walenda, thank you very much. Where are those guys? Bud?
What?
Where were you guys?
Well, let's give them
What are those?
Cactus coolers.
Cactus coolers, huh? Why don't you cats come in here when the show starts?
What do you need?
Well, I found out from Dan already what we were talking about during the break.
Yeah, that was the Walenda on the Walenda on the high wire.
I know already, all right? I got it already. So here's the thing. Here's what's happening, and we're going to be getting on the line here Jeff Dowder of, he is a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University to talk a little bit about the Walenda, and this young man's name is Nick Walenda, his walk across Niagara Falls on a high wire, which was attempted and successfully completed on this very night, Friday night. Happened earlier, I should say, Friday night on the West Coast, Saturday morning on the East Coast, and somewhere in between everywhere else. But the name Walenda probably rings a bell with all you guys because you've heard of the flying Walendas. Well, that was a family of circus performers.
What do you mean circus performers?
I mean, like, they were in a circus, you know.
Well, they were like the Elephant Man.
Yeah, that's the Elephant Man?
Not the Elephant Man. What are you, crazy? That's a freak show. That's a sad, sad relic of the past. That doesn't happen. That's against the law now. You mean showing poor human beings with physical deformities?
That's what a circus is.
No, it is not. Have you guys ever been to a circus?
No.
I've never been one.
A circus is, at its very best, the circus showed all kinds of marvelous displays of acrobatics, and there were clowns, and it was something that people enjoyed going to, you know.
What about the Elephant Man?
The Elephant Man's got nothing to do with a circus. That was a poor man that was mistreated by these individuals that like to show human deformity and pass them off as some sort of freakish animals. It was a very sad aspect to human behavior, and it was allowed at one time in this country. We don't allow it anymore.
Like P.T. Barnum.
Well, you know, if you want to be honest, yeah, P.T. Barnum engaged in a lot of that.
Yeah, you're saying about what a great American he is and everything.
Wait a second. What are we going to do here now?
No, you what, man? You said P.T. Barnum, one of the great Americans of all time, and he was a hero of yours.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, now hold a minute. You know, you guys, I don't mind you bringing this stuff up, but it's taking us way off the topic, all right? I said P.T. Barnum was a con man of the highest order. I said, in that respect, I've got a lot of respect for him. I have a high regard for anybody that puts it over on people, because you know what? It's their own damn fault. Having said that, some of the stuff that he did, I don't admire, but I'm not, you know, he was a man who lived in the 1840s, the 1850s. It was a different time, it was a different America. We didn't know anything about, well, what the hell was a Siamese twin? And
what is that?
Yeah, they still don't know what that is.
Yes, they do. What do you mean they don't know what that is? And we didn't know about these things. P.T. Barnum collected all of these oddities
Who that midget they had?
Don't say midget. It's not nice.
Yeah, it's like saying an N-word only on a little man.
No kidding?
Yes, yes, that's true. Little people is what they want to be called. Make a long story. I don't even know where I am. You guys have got me sidetracked.
Sorry for asking a question.
Well, don't ask any more questions. Oh, man. Tom Thumb.
Who's he?
The guy that Robert was, the little man.
Oh, no. That's the guy of the book. He said Tom Twist. Remember?
No, it's not Tom Twist. You idiots thought you were thinking of the Charles Dickens book, Oliver Twist, and you're going Oliver Thumb. That ain't the same guy, okay? Oliver Twist didn't even exist. It was a made-up fictional book by Charles Dickens.
Yeah, a guy named Charles Dickens exists.
Yeah, I don't think he was made up.
No, he wasn't made up. He was a great writer. Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist.
All right. Who was Tom Twist?
There wasn't any Tom Twist, smartass. It was Tom Thumb. Oliver Twist, fake. Tom Thumb, real.
And was Oliver Twist the midge? Or what was it?
Oh, so you're calling him a midge. Is that your way of getting away with not saying the full word?
Well,
you can't say that, man. It'd be like calling me. Well, you better not say it.
All right, I'm moving on, and I'm not going to answer any more questions.
I just want to know if Oliver Thumb was a midget.
I'm going to kick your ass. Watch out, that lady call. I don't care if she calls. We had that lady call last night. I don't know if you guys hung around. Mrs. Karen is her name, and she calls every time I threaten to kick Bud's ass because she thinks I'm abusing the handicapped. We had to explain to her there ain't nothing handicapped about Bud other than the fact that he ran his head through a tree at 90 miles an hour once.
Yeah, I got a plate in my head.
Yeah, it don't make you any dumber. What made you dumber was being born.
Ha! Shut up!
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Look at all the time I'm wasting with you guys. We're talking now about Nick Wallenda and this astonishing feat, walking over the falls at Niagara. Now, it's an interesting fact, folks, that it's a very interesting thing about America. 116 years ago, it was the same thing. We were fascinated with guys that were going over Niagara Falls on a high wire. The country was riveted by this kind of an event back in the 1890s. And today, even though we have competition of all kinds for our attention on television and elsewhere, today it's not much different. We're still fascinated by people that attempt to take this very dangerous journey on a wire across Niagara Falls. Now, in the case of Nick Wallenda, who is an heir to the Wallenda, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of what a circus is because you guys are so stupid, man. I got me sidetracked 10 full minutes. He is an heir to the Wallenda, Flying Wallenda family. They were acrobats. And I was saying to Dan, is this something that genetically is passed from father to son? Because I swear to God, to go over Niagara Falls on a high wire like that, I think there has to be a piece of your fear component missing. I don't mean it's a defeating fear. I think it can't be there. Now, the guys that did it, there's stories of guys that have gone over the gone across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Some of these guys do it smoking a cigarette. Some of these guys have got a guy on their back. Some of them sat down in a chair. I don't know how the hell he did that. One guy ate an omelet, you know.
Did he make the omelet on a wire?
That would have been great.
Did he make the omelet up there? I don't know, bud, but he did eat the omelet.
Probably got it, had to make it at the Niagara Falls breakfast place. Then he took that to go.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, that's great, man. Thank you, Robert, for...
You want me to look into that?
No, you don't need to look into that, but that was just... Yeah, they probably made it for him at the Niagara Falls takeout place, and he got it to go.
What?
Just never mind, and let me finish. So, in any event, on the line with us is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. Jeff, sorry it took so long to kind of get into this, but I want to ask you a little bit about this. You're into the mechanical physics aspect of things. Have you been watching the Walendas?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think you need to understand, Phil, on Nick Walenda is that, number one, he is safety harness. That means that ABC, which is the sponsoring entity, they televised this event. It was a 30-minute walk across the falls. I will give Nick Walenda credit for that on account of he took a 30-minute walk on it. But he was safety harnessed, and that means that ABC insisted that Mr. Walenda wear this piece of safety equipment because they obviously were concerned that were he to fall in the middle of this telecast, that it would redound negatively to ABC, and that you can well imagine a man falling off a high wire, you know, in the middle of the night where people are going, yeah, let's watch, you know, because you mentioned a circus and everything. So,
I understand what you mean, the trauma of it.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you don't want your children sitting there while all of a sudden it's like a night at the circus, then it's turned into the horror of it, where he says, or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to make the sound of it, but...
I understand. So he's going to fall. They don't want to have that happen. I totally understand that. I did not know that they wanted him to wear that harness, though.
Yeah, for that reason...
What about, I guess, just the basic insurance or...
I don't know if ABC was indemnified or not, if they had Mr. Walenda sign. I don't know. I will tell you this, though. As much as I really admire anyone who tests the limits of mankind's, you know, ability to, however you want to put it, you know, the way mankind, you know, tests it out and checks it out, and, you know, where you're going to go and, you know, go off a cliff. I don't know how you say it.
You mean like risk-taking, like thrill-seeking, like...
Yeah, you know, I mean, I admire that, but I have to say that I think Nick Walenda, agreeing to wear a safety harness, I think was a little bit CS. And
why?
Well, I don't think it's the same as the guys that did it. Like, you were talking about the last attempt was in the 19th century, and those people did it just totally, totally in the... In the clear, man. They had no harness. They had no wire. So for Walenda to go, I'm going to go across. I think it's a little bit CS, you know. But that's just strictly for me to say. I do, I do know a little bit about it because of my experience on the Viper. And
I want to hear about this Viper because I know that you want to bring up your experience as a daredevil, I guess, is what these guys are called.
Yeah, technically it's daredevil.
And you have had experience in an area of this kind of thing. We're going to talk with Jeff Dowder. We come back. We're a little bit late to our break, so let's take a break now. 877-876-7445. We're talking about Nick Walenda, who on Friday night successfully walked across Niagara Falls on a high wire. Sounds like something rather arcane, like out of the past, but we're still fascinated as a country with these guys that go over Niagara Falls and on their high wires. We'll be back to talk with Jeff Dowder about it more in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. With us is Jeff Dowder, professor of mechanical physics from Caltech, who's talking to us about Nick Wallenda, who went across the went across Niagara Falls on a high wire. And we did take a couple of calls from people during the break, Jeff, who said that going across Niagara Falls on a high wire with a harness on is nowhere near as challenging as, let's say, Evel Knievel.
I don't want to comment on Evel Knievel. I was a great admirer of Evel Knievel. I liked him. I don't think, yet he was the last of the real challenging daredevils, I think. But at the same time, on the same token, you know, it's all sort of illusion, because it's never as dangerous as you think. I will tell you, Mr. Henry, you brought up Viper, but I've got an experience that's even more, really more, way more worse than when I was on Viper, and that is that I rode in the front car, and this is a pretty, not a lot of people have the hair to do this, but I did it as a part of my experiencing the front edge, I think, of adrenaline rush, and we rode on the front. Or I rode on the front car of King Ka, which is the roller coaster in New Jersey. And
now, I don't know this roller coaster. I know it's ranked as one of the scariest.
Yes, it is. King Ka is in New Jersey. I rode on it, and I rode on the front of the front car of it. And I did that, and I'm looking up my records right now because I don't know when I do a lot of these. I did the Viper drop at Hurricane Harbor. I did that last year, and the King Ka roller coaster is fast. It also has a lot of centrifugal forces. It's in the parlance of the day, it's badass.
All right, but I mean, I understand. There's certainly roller coasters are getting scarier and scarier and faster and faster, but I'm talking about Mr. Wallenda's walk across Niagara Falls here. You can't put riding on a roller coaster in quite the same context, can you?
Well, yes, you can. I mean, if you consider that Mr. Wallenda went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, and
so even if you went across Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, so what?
Well, because if you're going over Niagara Falls with a safety harness on, and you fall off the wire, and you go down and down and down and down and down, you're not really scared of what's going to happen because you know you've got a safety harness on. So, you know, you're not even going to be as scared. And ABC wanted him to wear the safety harness because, as I said, Mr. Henry, if he fell off with no safety harness and you've got Americans looking at the TV tonight and children are seeing a guy who goes, yeah, you know, if you've ever seen... A lot of people don't scream when they fall from a high height, but you don't really know. ABC can't take a chance that the man's not going to go off and go, yeah, you know, like that, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, what has this got to do with anything, the screaming? Are you saying that that's why you wore the harness?
Yeah, because ABC didn't want to put children through that. But if he has a safety harness on...
He's not going to scream.
No, because he knows he's fine. He knows, oh, I slipped, you know, and so he's just like sailing down, but he knows that the safety harness is on. And
so how does that make what he's doing less threatening or less of a daredevil act than you on a roller coaster?
Well, again, Mr. Henry, have you seen a picture of King Ka? Because I'm looking at it, and I dare you to go on it, on the front car, on a front car. And
I'm looking at a picture of it. It's pretty radical.
Radical? That's a 90-degree angle, man. Okay? What's straight up and down? 90 degrees is flat. Straight up and down is like 180 or however you want to say it.
Yeah, it's like 100 straight up and down.
Yeah, okay. Are you going to tell me you're going to go on that? I don't think so.
And
I'll go if. What are you talking about, man? I'll go on it if it's gonna. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna go all the way to Jersey just to ride on a roller coaster. A lot of people do that. You know.
Well, I can tell you that I am one of those people that will go. I've gone to ride on roller coasters. I haven't been on all of them. I did do California Screamin' at Disney's Adventure. I did Space Mountain. I did the Matterhorn, and I've done those. Okay, but I am on my way to do more and more and more and more. And
wait a minute, you just said to me that you've done three roller coasters that I wouldn't even put in anywhere near the class of coaster you're talking about here.
Okay, boy, it's too bad you don't know a lot about roller coasters.
Well, I don't, but I can tell you, Mr. Doubter, unless I'm, you know, you tell me.
Well, I am telling you.
Okay, so you're telling me that Space Mountain and the Matterhorn belong in the same family of roller coasters as this King Ka?
I'm telling you they are famous roller coasters that are scary, that people go on and go, okay, you know, I done that, now I'm moving on. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
Well, what I'm saying, if there was a bucket list of roller coasters.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're telling me that the Matterhorn and Space Mountain?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the Matterhorn barely qualifies as a roller coaster, you know?
Well, okay, Mr. Roller Coaster Man. I mean, how many have you been on? Have you been on Thunder Rail? Let's talk about a roller coaster Disney. Okay, so you don't have no respect for...
I'll say the California Screamin' comes close.
Okay, what about Thunder Railroad?
Thunder Railroad? Dude, are you crazy? That has got one big curve, and that's it.
What about... Well, you don't know what you're talking about, and what about Splash Mountain?
Hold on for a minute, okay?
No, Mr. Henry,
hold on for a minute. 877 Splash Mountain? Are you got to be putting me on, man? It's like one drop. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
What about, the teacup?
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You have that.
I do have, we have audio, Mr. I've got audio of some of the most dangerous, I mean, I've got audio of myself and people on our staff that have ridden on these roller coasters also going down the Viper. So the man that you're talking about, Nick Walenda, I don't know what you're trying to say, you know.
I'm saying that it's a feat of daring. You are saying because he's wearing a safety harness, it renders it not a daredevil act.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It renders it no more dangerous than going on the Mr. Toad, Mr. Toad's ride. And
Mr. Toad, T-O-A-D.
Okay, I'm sorry. The Disney ride is Mr. Toad or...
Mr. Toad, the little kiddie ride?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, let me get to a gentleman we have on the line here. He is from Israel. His name is Abe. Abe, were you saying that you have done a lot of different stunts, or were you in the Air Force? What was your background?
I jumped from 18,000 feet from a plane, and with a parachute that is closed, till you are 400 or 500 feet from the ground and open your parachute. Try to do that, and you'll see the difference. That's daredevil. If you want to be on a roller coaster of any kind, it's scary a little bit, but it's nothing. You're attached to a roller coaster that... doesn't, you know, you cannot go wrong with that. The worst thing is it may get stuck in the middle if it breaks down. But you're not going to fall down and then get crushed.
Now,
daredevil is something that you do that you have no control on it. You try to achieve your destination, but without, you know, you depend on parachute. In some cases, butterfly wings, I don't know if you're familiar with them, that people jump on top of a mountain and fly without...
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, now, I want to ask you something. Abe, I want to ask you a question. What category of daredevil act is jumping out of an airplane and opening a chute at 400 feet? I mean, that chute, you must be at a really rapid rate of speed.
And that chute's got to... You're moving several miles a second.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot say a word. You just count in your head because you cannot really say anything that you're going to hear. So you have to count and be very accurate. 1,000,
how fast are you going?
You know, the way you count seconds. And if you miss it by 1 second, you're done.
Jeff Dowder is with us. Jeff, you've heard what Abe has said. How do you compare riding on the front car of King Dakar to that?
Well, I mean, I would say with all respect to this gentleman, were you in the Air Force, sir? I mean, is that what they're teaching you in the Israeli Air Force?
I was a Navy SEAL there.
What's that?
I was a Navy SEAL over there.
Okay. If you're going several miles a second and you open your chute with 500 feet left, you're still going to be, like, crushed, aren't you?
No, you don't.
What?
Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Okay. I mean, I know you're talking
to me. You have a heck of a bang on your shoulders when the parachute opens, but that's about it. Then you go down in a normal speed.
Well, like, have you been on King Dakar, or are you, you know, because that
I've been in front of a tank that was moving about 65, 70 miles an hour without a harness or anything else.
Well, I don't know about being thrown off a tank.
I was not thrown off a tank, but when you try to be on it, doing 70 miles an hour on a minefield... don't try it. I don't recommend it. Because if you fall off the tank, you're going to blown up. You'll get blown up.
Yeah, I know. But if you fall off a roller coaster, you're going to be...
You cannot fall off the roller coaster. You've been
off parachute.
You're being tied down to the roller coaster. On a tank, when you're on the outside, you're not. You better hold on tight.
Yes, sir, but I mean, you're not supposed to be sitting on the outside. What's that about, sitting on the outside of a tank?
That's when you're ready to jump off a tank and grab somebody. That's on special ops.
Well, okay. All right, but
they have a special handle that's tied on the outside, and you hold on to your life, and when you have to jump,
Well, have you ever been on the Viper? Have you been on Viper at Hurricane Harbor?
I've been on many of the different things. I don't remember all their names. I'm not a big fan of roller coasters. They don't do anything for me.
Well, here's the thing. On Viper, it's a water slide straight down, and the water's going right up into your you-know-what. I mean, because you're wearing a bathing suit, right?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay. What? So that doesn't do it for you?
Well,
no,
why
I mean,
would this
I
guy...
I jumped in, I parachute into water many times. Try to compare and you see the difference. You hit the water hitting concrete.
Yeah, but you're not on a parachute on Viper. You're just... You're just
no, in Viper, you are in a machine that takes you down. You're not free fall.
Well, it's not really a machine. It's a slide.
Yeah, I know. You're tied to it. You're going to get wet. That's about it.
What he's saying, Jeff, is that,
No, I know what he's saying. He said that he jumped out of an airplane. See, first of all, to quote Clint Eastwood, jumping out of a perfectly good airplane is not a natural act. Okay? Okay, sir?
Big deal. So Clint Eastwood said that in a movie. What else?
Wow, man. Are you telling me Clint Eastwood's full of crap?
He's an actor. You're talking about going down Viper. This man's talking about a parachute out of an airplane. Now, why would that be anywhere near? Why would your roller coaster ride?
Well, okay, let me ask this man here. What do you think about Walenda wearing a safety harness going over Niagara Falls?
Listen,
like Big Wow, right?
You need guts just to climb up there. And I don't know how high that wire is above the water, but just try to be there and you look in the water. I saw the Niagara Falls many times. I never tried to do anything on it, but just see the water going down. Just the thought that you're there, and if the wire snaps, guess what?
Well,
you're down anyway,
yeah.
With the harness or not.
What about the
snap.
What about the guy that did it eating an omelet?
Whatever, man. Did you hear what the gentleman said? He said that if you're looking down... By the way, the story is that there were 100,000 people on the Canadian side cheering him as he went across, and he went over the falls. He didn't just go across. The guys that did it, I guess, 100 years ago didn't go. He went directly over the falls.
Yeah, but he's wearing... The guy's got a bungee cord or whatever. I just don't get it. That's my whole thing. But, I mean, you know, And I would say to the gentleman I'm talking to, Abe, you ought to try. Have you been on? Okay, let me ask you this. Did you go on Thunder Railroad?
Yes.
This
one I do remember, yes.
Okay. What about it?
Listen, they're moving a little fast, you know, what, 30, 40 miles or whatever they move, and do some curves and turns. But these things are... what you do is you get a rush of speed that you know your face exposed to the wind when you're moving fast, and if you're not familiar with really moving fast, like when you jump from a plane that's doing about 500 miles an hour, try to jump from a C-30. You know that's when you get a really bash in your face when you move several hundred miles an hour, and you go down and down and down, and you have to count in the head in the same time while you're jumping, while you're moving fast. If you miss it by one second, you're done.
You're going to hit the ground so fast,
you won't be able to do nothing.
I don't know how you do that. You know, a guy I know said that he saw a guy shoot not open one time, and he went over to see what happened, and all he found was the guy's pants and shoes. The guy wasn't even there.
Depends on what height he jumped, but if he went from his height to over 10,000 feet, that guy became disintegrated. I mean, he hits the ground so fast that the body just falls apart.
It's just liquefied.
Not liquefied, but
you're going to find bits and pieces all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what they said. All they saw was shoes, a T-shirt, and one glove.
Good Lord.
That's what you're going to see, because the rest of the money just going to fall apart. I mean, when you take a 10,000 piece of meat, go to a high-rise building and throw it down to the street, you ain't going to find a piece of meat. You're going to probably shred it.
But you know something? Hey, Abe, you know what? If I had a piece of meat and I had a barbecue or a high building, I think I'd put it on the barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine. Very good choice. Abe, thanks so much. That was very interesting.
Sure.
But I still...
Phil?
I still am... Yeah, the name's Phil.
Are you still taking any comments about your first guy that... from wherever the guy that killed the guy that was accused of...
No, we're past that. We're past that. But we will probably bring it up at a future date. And I do appreciate very much, Abe, you giving me the call. That gentleman... was with the Navy SEALs in Israel.
Well, I mean, that's...
Well, that's what?
That's what... They don't have no... I mean, they probably have a Navy SEAL. They don't call it that.
I don't know. He was with a Navy Special Ops, Special Operations group in Israel.
And the other thing that guy said that I think he never really told me is, how do you go several hundred miles an hour...
He didn't say several hundred miles an hour.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did not.
Well, what did he say?
He said several miles an hour. All right, several miles a second.
What?
Never mind, I butchered it up. But what was your question?
My question was... excuse me, I'm sorry, Mr. Aaron, I didn't mean to do that.
You've been doing it all hour, so...
Well, I mean, if I have, I apologize.
Okay, fine. What do you want to say?
I forget.
Okay, put him on hold. All right, so this has been a big, fat waste of my life.
Right, I think it's pretty interesting.
I want to find out what this guy, what he means when he says that the roller coaster... You know what I think? I think this cat's been hitting a bong tonight. That's what it sounds like to me.
Why?
Because it sounds like it. Yeah, man, that... And what about Thunder Railroad? Yeah, that's badass. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our News and Information Hour will be coming up next hour. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. And don't forget to download the living hell out of all eight episodes of our free Phil Hendry podcast. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much.
Truth is our bitch.
I know. Phil Hendry Show. I forgot. No, Mr. Hendry, I forgot. I know what I wanted to ask.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. With me is Jeff Dowder from Caltech. We've been talking here about the exhibition there, Mr. Walenda. That is Nick Walenda, who went over Niagara Falls on Friday night, on a high wire, the first man to do that in over 100 years. As a matter of fact, he's the first guy to go over the falls themselves, I think. Maybe ever, I don't know. A lot of people have gone across the gorge there at Niagara Falls, and you were comparing his effort, saying it wasn't much of a very impressive effort because he had on a safety harness, and I think, there's been a lot of opinion opposing you here, Jeff, saying no, especially that man from the Israeli Navy, saying that that's quite indeed a feat.
Well, I mean, you know, you gotta, if you haven't been, okay, so he said he had been on Thunder Mountain?
Yeah, he was on Thunder Mountain. It's nothing, are you kidding?
Have you?
Yes, I've been on Thunder Mountain.
Okay, but have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
No, I have not.
Well, then how do you make the comparison, you know?
How do you make the comparison? Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Mr. Henry, I already told you that I've been, no, but if you've gone down the Viper at Hurricane Harbor, and
Hurricane Harbor, man, you're standing in line for the Viper?
What? What do you mean?
Are you standing in line behind some little kid in his inner tube and his bathing suit?
Okay, you know, yeah, there's little kids in line, but I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Henry. What you do is you just go, yeah, you know, get out of my way, kid. And what are you talking about, man?
You're standing in line at Hurricane Harbor for the Viper with little kids in their inner tubes and mothers going up the stairs, right?
No, a lot of those are going off to the left or to the right to the teeny little one. I don't know what they call it, but it's one for the teeny tiny kids. Like it's the teeny kid slide, and it just goes, down, and then you're, like, done. But it's not the drop. It's not the Viper drop. The Viper drop, man, is exactly. I mean, if you were on, if you were Nick Willenda on a high wire, okay, and you fell off with Nick Willenda on a high wire. Let's say that that's what happened to you, okay? Then you go ah. If you go down every time I go down a Viper, I don't, but I hear people go ah, help. You know, not that, but
well, you know what? You sound ridiculous.
I sound ridiculous. That guy, huh? That guy said he was pulling the cord and shoot at 400 feet. I doubt it. I doubt it.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well,
and if you fall off the Viper or that high wire, you're going Have you ever heard a guy fall off like that? Mr. Henry?
No, fall off what, man? What are you talking about?
Fall off a high wire.
No, but I'm telling you.
Well, here's what it sounds like.
Hold on for a minute. I'm telling you that you're all wrong and you got your head parked way up there, man, if you're telling me that the Viper, a water slide, is the same as falling off of the high wire, okay?
If you fall off the high wire without a safety harness at the Niagara Falls, you know, at the Niagara Falls, it sounds like this. I've heard guys, I haven't heard anybody do it, but it would sound like this because you hit the wheel, you go, Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Okay, what?
That's what happens to the human body. Because you go, and then you hit the one, just like that.
Yeah.
God, man, what are you like? You're pretty cold-hearted, man.
No, I'm not. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go over to another phone call here. We have we got General Shaw with us. Is he on the line? Yeah. General Galen Shaw with us, sir. How are you?
And a very good evening to you, Phil. It's wonderful to be speaking with you. And I heard the young man. I also wanted to pay my compliments to the Israeli Navy SEAL. He sounded like a man that the country and the service of the Israeli Defense Force, of which I have worked and know a great people, great many people, sounds like they could be very proud of him.
Well, it's good to have you with us, sir. And yes, he was. He was an interesting guy.
Can I just jump? Well, hold on, try. I do want to address you, sir. What is your name? Yes, sir. My name is Jeff Dowder. All right, Jeff. My name is General Galen Shaw. And I have served 40 years in the United States Army. I'm retired now. And I wanted to ask you, because you're talking about water slides, that you're talking about comparing that to a special ops soldier or a soldier that is trained in low-level deployment or a soldier that has to jump from an aircraft at a very high elevation. You're saying that that is similar to the roller coasters you've been on. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I'm saying, sir, that if, like I said, you know, if you fall off with no cord on the Niagara Falls, you'll go, hey, whap. If you fall off with a cord, you go, hey.
Okay, all right, hold on. Phil, because I know you were losing patience, but I want to be patient with you, Jeff. What does it sound like again?
Which one?
When you fall off with a cord, with the cord attached, what does it sound like?
It probably sounds like this. Guy goes, or, you know, because he's not hitting the water.
But I can tell you that I've heard a man fall from a very high elevation hitting cement. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Well, I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
No, I know that you're not. But do you want to know? I heard a man fall out of an aircraft and hit a bridge. All right? And this was in Panama. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like this. He goes, ah, ha, 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 whap. Because what happens, Jeff, and you don't know this, the realization kicks in that you're about to become essentially liquid. And it's funny. What, you tell me they laughed?
You're saying the guy laughed?
That's what I heard, yes. I heard a guy fall out of a C-130, and he dropped probably a good 1,000 feet, and I heard, ah, ha, 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 and then the very clear and very distinctive sound of splat. Now,
boy, that must have been horrifying.
It was very horrifying, but by the same token, it was unexpected to hear him laugh like that.
Well, are you sure it was a laugh and it wasn't just maybe the air current or something?
It sounded like it. It was the very distinctive, ah, ha, 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 splat. Now, Jeff, are you still with me?
Yes, General.
If you've ever seen a Laurel and Hardy movie, they have achieved something that I've never heard achieved since. Oliver Hardy will fall out of something, and it will sound like this. Oh, 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 like they've spliced together a bunch of sounds.
Well, maybe they have.
I'm sorry?
Maybe that's what they do. That's a movie.
Maybe they've spliced together. I don't understand.
Well, what Mr. Henry's saying is, I'm
talking to Mr. Henry, not you. Yes?
You're talking about the Laurel and Hardy movies?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, that's Oliver Hardy going, ah, and yeah, it's old movies. They probably didn't have much in the way of a sophisticated editing process. Maybe they needed more of his comic yelling, and so they just spliced a lot of it in there.
Let me tell both of you something. I've been sitting patiently listening to this conversation, and I put quotes around it, as a former member of the United States military. And in all of my days, in combat, in peacetime, I never, ever felt the way I felt tonight listening to the two of you. I regret very much that I didn't go into the Air Force and serve our country as a member of the United States Air Force as an airman. Because had I would know exactly how to deploy a load of napalm right over your studio.
Okay,
God!
That's that guy. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show News and Information Hour. Wow.
All right, I wonder if you just hang up on me.
Yes, I did.
Then why am I still on the air?
I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes, it is.
I gotta go now.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So I was showing Bud and Robert here. This is the these are the front pages here.
What'd that say to Super Fort?
See, this is what I have during our pre-show here on Phil TV and HD, and which I'm doing right now for our Backstage Pass viewers. And if you had a Backstage Pass, you could enjoy this as well. If you don't, you should get one at philhenryshow.com. But anyway, I have my New York Times front pages, and I've just picked the date of June 16th, which is today, 1944. And it just so happens that on this, on the day before, the 15th, Super Forts.
What is that?
Those are the B-29s. That was the first time the B-29 was flown, and it attacked the Tokyo industrial, or excuse me, the Japanese industrial centers. And it was a very, they called it a Super Fort because these suckers not only carried a pretty good payload of bombs, they also were just surrounded. They had guns everywhere. They had the turret guns and the tail guns and...
Yeah, tail guns.
Shut up.
Why don't you grow up, okay?
No, he called me a tail gunner once.
Yeah, that's and I should have, too.
Okay, so he called you a tail gunner. I'm talking about something completely different. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Anyway, so tail gun, meaning a machine gun, all right? This isn't games, guys. This is guys lost their lives. You understand that, right?
Yeah, I'm not making fun of that.
Well, then stop talking about tail gunner like it's something, you know, There were cats that were on these aircraft, and they were getting killed, man. I mean, you know. Anyway, so that's the New York Times front page for the 16th of June, 1944. And, of course, by that point in the war now, the Axis Japanese and Germans are really losing, man. They're now on the defensive. They're getting their ass kicked. They're everywhere. Every single place on the map, they're losing ground. And so that was a good thing. All right, welcome back to our Phil Hendry show here, our news and information hour. It's good to be with you guys. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman on the line with us here. But if you guys want to get me something, you keep talking about my birthday is coming up September the 1st, right?
Yeah, what do you want? Like, what do you want?
I want just historical things like the CD-ROMs like this. I love these front pages, man. If you could get me some more, like, newspapers like that, you know?
What if we just got you the newspaper?
If you just got me the newspaper from each, what are you talking about?
If we got like 100 years of a newspaper.
I don't know, man. I don't, you know.
What's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, if you got a 100 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 1912. What kind of shape's the newspaper in?
Well, I mean, it's falling apart, but.
Oh, well, great, man. How do I read that?
If you are real careful with it. And
why don't you guys just get me something like this? Why don't you go out and get me 100 years worth of newspapers that are yellow and ready to fall apart?
Because I don't know where, or not where to find it. But my uncle's got a whole garage full of newspaper. But some of it, I think, goes back 100 years.
Yeah, he used to do the paper drives, but he stopped doing it.
He used to do a paper drive, but he stopped doing it. What has he got in the garage?
He must have 100 years worth of newspapers.
How old is your uncle?
Well, he's not old, but I mean, when my grandmother died, they cleaned out her apartment, and she had a lot of... My grandmother saved a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I'll say she saved a lot of stuff. She got 100 years worth of newspapers.
She got a lot of stuff. She got like, football program when my uncle... Or not my uncle, but when my great-uncle played, he played football at the Stanford University.
Get out of here, man. You want to go to Stanford?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Your uncle played football... Not your uncle.
No, my great-uncle.
Played football at Stanford.
Yeah.
What was his name?
They called him Wizard Dickman.
Wizard Dickman. Get out of here.
I swear to God.
Well, I ain't never heard of a Wizard Dickman.
So? That doesn't mean he did exist.
So she kept all the football programs, huh?
Yeah, she got all football programs. My uncle, or my great uncle, and my other great uncle. And then she got a bunch of stuff.
Wizard Dickman?
Yeah, I think that's what they called him.
Yeah, I'll bet they did.
Oh, try to be a smartass, huh?
Hey! Man, he grabbed my throat.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so his name's Wizard Dickman. Good for him.
Well, he ain't around no more.
No, I would imagine. So what's she doing with 100 years worth of newspapers?
I don't know. There's mentions in there of members of my family. Like, one of my family members was, some guy, he made an experiment, and my relative helped him.
What'd he do, blow up something?
I'm going to kick your ass.
Hey, one more time, man. I'll kick your ass.
You're going to get a call from that lady.
Yeah, Mrs. Karen's going to call.
I hope she does. I told David what to say to her. You're going out a window, and she'll follow you out. I'll just tell you this much, bud. No, thank you. You guys are very kind, but I'd rather just have a CD-ROM. I think these are really cool. Or whatever you got, any high-tech, high-media, just get me high, will you?
Okay.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here. And our podcast, our episode 8 of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show podcast is out. Want to mention as well, if you go to our shop, that is the Phil Hendry Show shop, we have a variety of fun things. You know, Dad's Day is coming up on Sunday. I know that Father's Day is—it's a little late now to be ordering anything for Father's Day, But you can always tell Dad, hey, Dad, here's an IOU. I owe you a Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded pullover sweatshirt. Or how about a Phil Hendry Show download of some? Actually, that's something you could get Dad right now. You could get him the MP3s of all, I mean, all of our legacy CDs. Right now, you could do that. By the way, the deadline, you BSPs out there, the deadline is passed. I wanted all of your selections for the very best Ted Bell bits, because by the end of the month, we're going to have on site our best of Ted Bell collection. And right now, I can tell you this. We've got so many suggestions. We may have to do, you know, like a double download, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, well, they can get them individual.
Yes, they can. They can. You guys will be able to download individual cuts as you can do it now. But if you wanted to buy the whole collection, we'll have the whole collection of cuts at a certain price. This will be the very first time that we've ever done a best of any individual character from the show. So what we call Ted's Best, the best of Ted's of Beverly Hills. And look for it on site in the Phil Hendry Show shop before the end of the month. All right, some celebrity news here for you. I know you love this stuff. I know you don't really, but hey, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it ain't. Sometimes you just wonder what in blue blazes, and sometimes you realize what's really going on here, which is that the celebrities are, in a lot of ways, just like you and I. Oh, sure, maybe they have a little more money to spend on booze. But what makes them really weird isn't so much them, it's that gaggle of weird asses that follow them around with cameras and notebooks and... You know, have you ever heard those guys?
Yeah, about that, like on TMZ.
I got to tell you something. TMZ made a big mistake. And Radar Online and any of those sites, the biggest mistake you guys ever made was allowing your reporters to be heard and sometimes seen on those video clips that you post in relation to different stories about celebrities. Because what you've done... is I always knew what the reaction of the movie star was or the celebrity or whoever, and they were irritated or they were saying something stupid or they were falling down drunk or they were doing this or doing that. But when you guys couldn't resist putting your reporters, including your reporters' clips and your reporters' questions and sometimes even the pictures of your reporters, when you couldn't resist because of either ego or stupidity putting them up there, now I see what a bunch of jackasses they are. And no wonder people react the way they do.
Yeah, I was going to say that one guy was bugging some lady. He said, don't drive. You can't drive. You're too drunk. Blah, 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 blah. And she never got arrested or nothing.
I don't know who that. Who was that?
Some celebrity guy was going, hey, man, don't let her drive. Don't let her drive. Don't let her drive. And probably thought it was going to make him look good. Well, guess what? She drove real good. You know.
Who was it?
I forget who it was, but that guy looked like the biggest turd. He looked like a turd in a hat.
Turd in a hat. Well, I've seen cats like, what was it? Jack Nicholson came out of a restaurant and they were peppering him with questions. He says, I'll answer all the questions you guys have. Would you please turn those lights off? You know, because those big bright lights.
Yeah, they kept saying, hey, Jack, hey, all that.
Yeah, they'll keep bugging him as they're going in. He says, oh, look, I'll answer, but will you turn that light off? Because they got the light in his face. So you sort of figure out, and I think that this is perhaps, I may be right, I may be wrong, but it's an unexpected collateral effect of this new journalism where because of ego and ego alone, they have cameras now in the newsrooms of these places. You know that show, what's the TMZ show?
Yeah, they show Rob 11.
That's it, Harvey Levin, and he's talking with those guys. Jeez, have you ever seen a bigger pack of ass captains in your life?
Don't those guys think they're bitching?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they're the stars, you know? Oh, and another thing that happened. It doesn't give me any, I don't have any sympathy for them. I don't identify with them, see? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. If I'm, the reporters, good reporters, are almost like a representative of us, the consumer. They go out and they ask all these questions of these people that we can't go near. And they go places where we ordinarily wouldn't be able to go. And so they speak for us in a lot of ways, or they are our curious side. And, you know, when they do a really good job, that's sort of how I think the consuming public views them. But when they're actually on camera and you actually hear them or see them and you see some of the things they do and say, to me, these slobs, I wouldn't have these guys, I wouldn't let them in the house to use the toilet, even if it was broken. especially if it was broken.
What's that mean?
I don't know. All right, so Lindsay Lohan, celebrities love to play the exhausted card, according to this story in TMZ. You know why they like to play the exhausted card? Because framed in the correct fashion, it's almost impossible to call BS on them. Deep down, everyone might think it could be BS, but there's no way of knowing for sure, especially considering the crazy work schedules actors and actresses often keep. Take this Lindsay Lohan mess as an example. Earlier today, paramedics rushed to the Ritz-Carlton in Marina del Rey after a hotel worker found the Mean Girls actress unresponsive. She'd already called the set at her movie, Liz and Dick, to report she was exhausted, but by the time the private doctor they sent arrived, emergency rescuers were allegedly on their way as well. The EMT successfully aroused Lohan and quickly discerned nothing serious was going on. But as always happens with these things, the story has taken on a life of its own on the internet with scores of wild rumors. Well, now, that's really... I'm so thankful that you guys pointed that out. I must go check out the rumors. To stem the tide, Lohan's reps put out a statement saying she was exhausted. Have we taken our break?
No.
All right, let's take a break. Because I'm exhausted. We'll be right back.
You don't read the rest of it?
No, I don't really want to read the rest of it. Maybe she's exhausted. Maybe she's on drugs. You know what? TMZ, pound it. We'll be right back. World famous
Truth
Phil Hendry Show.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Right on.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Show a picture. This is a picture of Chris Brown on our homepage, not for any reason really, other than the asinine outfit he's wearing. And Chris Brown is, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of people in the real world that admire him because of the incident with Rihanna. That is, and when I say incident, basically what he did was he drove her face into his fist, and then I think he bounced her face off of a dashboard, and then kicked her out into traffic. Now, the picture there of Mr. Brown, and of course he feels, as a lot of these guys do, he feels put upon, he feels like a victim, he feels, there's a lot of things that he feels. However, I don't know what night it was. What night was it, Robert?
I don't know. I thought it was the other night, man. I thought it was last night, but it wasn't last night. Rihanna was with him.
Well, there was a night not too long ago, I think it was this week, if not last night, where Chris Brown is at a nightclub in New York, and there is another recording artist there, named Drake. Drake is very popular. He is quite talented and is really, the rage, the same as Chris Brown is. In any event, the two, and, the, you know, when people, these guys go to a nightclub, it isn't just them. It's a whole freaking posse of people. It is a contingency, man. It's like a battalion, you know.
Yeah, got all that bodyguard and everything.
Well, that's just it. Now, here's what they say happened, and this is the kind of mentality we're dealing with. The witnesses state that Chris Brown's group began flashing gang signs. I have no idea if that's true. I just have no idea why, other than to provoke the other party, which is what happened. And eventually it turned into a bottle-throwing episode. Bottle-throwing. That's what, you know.
Been in front of fifth?
That I heard any fists were thrown, bottles were thrown. This is, you bet, you know, if you own the nightclub, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't care, because that'd be in the newspaper and everything. People think it's cool.
Well, I mean...
Now, that he's got a point there.
Are you kidding me, man? So I'm going to stand there, the owner of the nightclub, and I'm watching these jackballs throwing Heineken bottles at each other.
Yeah, but it's Chris Brown and Drake.
Well, are you telling me you guys wouldn't do anything?
Well, I don't know, man. That'd be a hard one to intercede in. You know, I mean, certain reputation. I don't want to step on nobody's toes.
Yeah, you don't want to disrespect nobody.
Disrespect nobody? The guy's in my nightclub throwing bottles.
Well, all right, man. You don't have Chris Brown in there.
You know, let me tell you something. He got his ass... Both of them got talked to by the cops. I don't know. But,
Because you get a reputation that celebrities won't want to go to your club.
No, I think you're full of crap. You know that? I think you're full of crap. If I own that nightclub and I take a stand, I say, you know, I'm very happy to have you gentlemen here, and I think it's very nice that you're in my club, but throwing these bottles, no way, man. Get out. You and you, you and you and you, all of you out there, all of you are now members of the Lago Volunteers.
Hey!
Which movie?
High Plains Drifter.
What?
High Plains Drifter.
Good. All right. Make a long story short, this is the whole point of what I'm trying to tell you. Now, what do we got? Last night, not last night, Wednesday night, Brown is at another nightclub, and guess who is, baby doll. You know, she's getting him drinks, and she's making sure that he took 8 stitches in his chin.
Somebody hit him with a bottle.
Someone that was a really good shot hit him with a bottle, I guess. It was Rihanna. The one that he had been beating up, she's there. Now, I know that we've heard this story a million times. Why do women do this? Why do women get beat up and go back to the guy?
Why?
Why? It isn't the daddy issue that I heard some guy mention to me on Twitter today. It's the mommy and daddy issue. It's that mommy got her ass beat, and daughter sees this. She sees daddy beating up mommy. She sees them making up. She basically gets the message that he loves you if he's beating your ass.
What are you talking about, man?
That's exactly what it is. A man doesn't love you unless he's beating you up. Now, have you ever dealt with a woman like this before?
I don't know.
I have. I've actually been around women like this who get their ass kicked by some guy, but they stay with the guy because that's what love is.
That sounds retarded, man.
Retarded? It's worse than that. It's like just, it's emotionally, I mean, they're nuts. So what am I supposed to do? You want me to sit here and start crying tears, big crocodile tears for Rihanna? She's going to wind up dead, man. Dead. You understand what I'm saying? Dead.
It's not that bad. I mean, he...
It is that bad, bud. That's exact. He's going to kill her. Okay?
That was Bobby Brown. He didn't kill no Whitney Houston.
Bobby Brown didn't kill Whitney Houston. No, he didn't kill Whitney Houston, but something killed Whitney Houston. And how do you know that what killed her, whether it was drugs, whether it was something else, whether it was the weak heart, how do you know what killed her wasn't contributed to by all those years she spent with that scumbag? How do you know that didn't happen? But this guy Brown, if Rihanna has got any brains, which apparently, you know, she's a great singer, she's a beautiful girl, she's a great entertainer, but she's on her way, she's going to a grave. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, you shouldn't say that, man, because they'll say that you caused it.
What?
They will, man.
Oh, get out. How am I causing it?
Because you're on the radio talking about it.
I don't give a damn. I'm telling you right now, this guy Brown, Rihanna's going to wind up on a gurney with a sheet pulled over her face, and somebody's going to say, oh, look at that, that's Rihanna, that was the singer, yeah, uh-huh, and they're going to stick her in a drawer, close the drawer with a toe tag on. That's the end of that.
If that ever happened, then people say, why didn't you call the police?
What? What does that mean?
What's that mean?
Because if you know he's going to do it, you should call the police.
I got to call the police? The whole freaking world is watching this happen. Are you nuts? The whole world is watching this happen, man. They're watching this scumbag Brown. You know what? That cat ain't even all that talented, man. Of the two tables, Drake's got it all over him. I don't know what the gang sign is. Drake's from Toronto. You know, quit, you know, don't, just stop. Will you people? You're silly. But I don't give a damn what happens to Drake. He could take a whole bottle of mums off the head. This guy Brown, he's going to wind up killing that girl, that Rihanna. She's going to be dead, and people are all going to walk around and say, oh, well, we knew it was going to happen, and I knew it was going to happen, I knew it was going to happen. All right, we'll be right back with more of Phil's insights into celebrities and their bottle throwing. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our News and Information Hour, check out our podcast, Episode 8. Check out our website, philhendryshow.com. Check it out.
You're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Phil Hendry.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and very, very delighted to have you with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. I was just talking to Dan Northcraft, who's our technical director, and Dan works very, very late, as I do. Dan works even longer than I do.
Yeah, Dan, he's working all night.
He's working all night. Now, he's going to the beer walk tomorrow. I said, how does a guy that works all night go to the beer walk? He goes, I just forced my ass out of bed at 9 a.m.
Man, that's hardcore, man.
And, well, I don't even know how a guy does that, you know? But he's a better man than me. I would love to be able to do that, because I'll tell you one thing, when I'm, you know, and I don't even work all night, but you get off the air on the West Coast, we're off the air at 1 a.m. That means bedtime, maybe 4, maybe 4:30, maybe 5, and I'm sleeping till 2, you know?
Y'all get your ass out of bed, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's hard, you know?
Yeah, but Dan Northcraft doesn't do it. He's going to go to a beer walk.
Yeah, if you think about that, he ain't going to have no sleep. Then about a half, within 30 minutes of the beer walk, he'd be falling down blind, stinking drunk. Now, that's the kind of man he is.
Well, that's really nice of you to say. I'm sure Dan appreciates that.
What? So what are you talking about?
Within a half hour of the beer walk, he's going to be blind, stinking drunk. Man.
Well, I'm not saying blind, stinking drunk, but I'm saying that he gonna have a beer, and if you can't have a beer, what kind of man are you? You know what?
Are you listening to what I'm saying here? I'm talking about how I've got great admiration for him. He's gonna get up at 9 o'clock and go out. He's going to the beer walk. I don't know what kind of a drinker is, but if you think some guy with 30 minutes of going to a beer walk, he's blind, stinking drunk. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, falling down,
throwing up,
falling down and throwing up, and he's got 3 hours of sleep. I think the cat, and you know, he's going to be with his wife and everything, man. I mean, it's not everybody drinks like you guys, okay? 877-876-PHIL. But to tell us a little bit more about the beer walk, at least in her neighborhood in New York City, is Debbie Daly. Debbie is the host of Daly's Daily, a public radio morning show. She is, in fact, the only radio host known in the world who is hearing impaired. Debbie does not hear anything and has not heard anything from birth. And we'll have to get into what that was about.
What caused that or something?
Does somebody like come up and blow a trumpet in her head or in her ear or something?
I don't know, okay? Blow a trumpet in her ear.
Yeah, but if they blew her ear out.
I don't know. Debbie, how are you?
I'm really good.
Debbie, I wanted to ask you, what beer walk do you go to?
We have our own beer walk, and everyone's going to be like, oh, pub crawl. I mean, you have
It's called a pub crawl?
Mm-hmm.
Robert.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
I'm good. Did somebody blow a trumpet in your ear?
What do you mean?
Well, how come you can't hear?
Yeah, we got to bet that somebody blasted a trumpet in your ear.
Did you hear that? She doesn't think it's funny.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
You did that to your father? You know, this is probably disconcerting for the audience. Folks, we're talking to Debbie Daly. No, I'm not trying to make you out to be a freak show. I'm trying to tell the audience she has a hearing. It's difficult for her to hear, so she uses an enhanced device, but as a result, it's difficult for her to speak. I'm not making you into a freak show. I'm trying to tell the audience what's up if they're just tuning in. Now, to get back, where are you anyway? You're in the kitchen at the restaurant you were at looking for ice cream. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not talking to you like you're the lead item on a list of freak things at the freak show. I'm asking you a question. You said that your father lost his hearing because someone blew a trumpet in his ear?
Yeah.
Who did?
You did?
Wait, hold on. Your father said that he wanted to know what it was like to be hearing impaired like his dear daughter Debbie. And so you said, let me let you try it on for size, and you blasted a trumpet into...
Well, it is kind of funny.
Hold on for a minute. So you blasted a trumpet in his ears, he lost his hearing, and now you're closer than ever before. Thank you, Debbie, for taking that trumpet and blasting it. Where'd you get the trumpet? You rented it from the Music Mart.
Mm-hmm.
You rented it for that specific purpose.
Mm.
How old were you at the time? Ten or 11.
Man, that's very intelligent of you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Man, what I'm trying to say is I think there's something wrong with you at the age of 10 to take a trumpet rented from the Music Mart down the street, stick it up into your father's ear, blast it as loud as you can, blow his hearing out so that he knows what it's like to be you, and the two of you are closer than ever before. That's something real strange. That's like reverse abuse, you know.
I can't understand her when she gets excited. Would you tell her?
You can tell her.
Miss Daly, I can't understand.
Would you get that out of here? Whose idea was that?
I thought it'd be interesting.
I got something in my eye, man.
No, what do you mean in your eye? She can't hear.
I don't care about her right now. I got something in my eye talking to that nut. God. So anyway, well, that was really great, bud. Thanks a lot. I learned a lot about the beer walk there on the Lower East Side.
Well, that's what you said was coming up.
Let's not have her on the show unless it's something political, okay? I'm not going to have some chit-chat session with somebody that can't speak. Excuse me for saying this, folks, but she can't. The only reason why she can hear us is she's got some Air Force amplified hearing aid.
Yeah, I thought because her dad worked, you know, in the Defense Department.
That whole thing with her dad is the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'd like to know what it's like to be my daughter. She rents a trumpet and blasts both of his eardrums out. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, online at philhendryshow.com, and we have for you our backstage pass so that you can enjoy thousands and thousands of hours of archived material, as well as watch our videocast, which you can watch right now. But I can assure you, tonight's show might have been a good show to watch, given the weirdness of it, just the overall the strangeness of it. I don't ever... That bothered me a lot. So, anyway... I hope you have a good time at the beer walk, Dan. I will say, just in closing on this entire segment on beer, I had a beer the other day, and it tasted real good.
Yay!
Thank you.
What was it?
What was it?
Yeah.
It was a beer, a Heineken, I think.
What was that one beer you had up in Canada?
I don't know. I don't know the name of that. I forgot the name of that Canadian beer. It was very good. Beer tastes good if you haven't had it in a while. Beer, for me, and this is just for me, beer begins to taste. It loses its pizzazz for me, man. If I'm drinking beer every day, and you know, when I was younger and I was a daily beer drinker, I don't care what kind of beer I was drinking, it started to taste like crap. But if I drink a beer every now and again,
you don't even drink beer.
I'm not really a beer drinker anymore, no. But if I drink a beer now, it tastes, especially if it's a good beer, it tastes fantastic. I don't think there's anything I've ever had that tastes better, man. It's great. But I don't drink beer as much anymore for a couple of reasons. Like I said, one, daily beer drinking for me, it begins to taste like you know what.
Like pee.
That's why I said you know what, so you wouldn't say that.
Oh.
And number two, it puts all that weight on you. Now, I've had a lot of requests, and by a lot of requests, I've had two.
That's enough.
Right. Actually, I've had a lot of requests from people who, guys who want to know the whole diet thing, because I told you I am down to 240. I'm probably down around 242, 243. I haven't been on the scale in a couple of weeks because I went to Tampa and I blew the diet out a little bit. But it's a real simple diet, you guys. It's no big thing. 2,000 calories a day, and that's it. And if you want to drink beer, everything's got calories on it. You know, two Heinekens, man, I think is somewhere in the neighborhood of, well, one Heineken's 148 calories, okay? So you're talking under 300 calories for two. If you only get 2,000 calories a day, I would not suggest drinking beer. I would drink tequila.
Why?
Tequila is only, for a shot of tequila, it's only 92 calories, okay? So you can drink two shots of tequila, and that'll get you nice, you know, for a beautiful afternoon, and you're still under 200 calories.
Well, I mean, but, oh, so you're saying you can't drink no beer?
You can drink beer if you want to. I'm just telling you, if you've got 2,000 calories a day, you're going to want to eat some food. So if one beer is 150, let's call it 150 calories, that's 300 calories for two beers. To me, that's a waste, man. If you want to get a buzz on, I recommend tequila. Don Julio tequila, which I looked up on my little calorie counter thing.
They got that on you?
Yeah. If you go to that one, there's one app that shows you, there's a whole bunch of stuff online. It'll show you the calories of every single food and even brand names. I put Don Julio in there and up came Don Julio tequila. I think it's like 92 calories for one. Am I right about that? Yeah, for 1 ounce. And, you know, I'll drink a double tequila. That's 180-some calories. That's it, you know?
Well, what if you want to have more?
You can have more if you want to, but just keep in mind, you got to have three shots of tequila for under 300 calories or two beers. I don't know about you, but the choice is made, that my mind's made up. I ain't having two stinking beers. I'm going to have the shots of tequila. I like the drink better. More bang for your buck, less calories. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Mr. Henry. You should tell people.
I'm on the radio right now. What do you think I'm doing?
Oh.
We'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our final segment. We only have a final segment on Friday night, Saturday morning shows. Otherwise, it's the final segment. And then the weekend is upon us. Oh, happy day. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Woo! Hendry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. Our final segment here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Turn the fan off, will you, bud?
Thanks. It's getting hot here. It's sweating up like a pig.
Okay, yeah, because I can smell you.
Well, that could be me.
Oh, okay. Well, then I can smell you, too. But we got to keep the fan off while we have these few moments with our audience. Now, just a small message. Internet Explorer, you people have got the worst browser on God's good green earth. It just flat sucks. However, Mozilla, yours is worst. Or worse, because I've had to abandon that Firefox and go to Internet Explorer, because Firefox, you just flat suck on wheels, man. And now I got to wait for an update for you jackballs every 5 minutes just to fix stuff. In any event, I'm over here, and I wanted to look at the story because they have released the name of the man who was killed in that incident in Texas. This man who was molesting or alleged to have molested the little girl. I had it a moment ago, but you people just kind of changed it up on me, man. It was in Shiner, Texas, bud, so if you could go ahead and look. They released the name of this man, and all I'm saying is the following thing. It is an allegation of molestation that, if I'm not seeing this correctly, let me know. This guy who is saying the girl was being molested was the father who did the attacking. And I have to go according to his word on this thing. Not a problem, and I'm not saying the guy's a liar, but can I get a little more information? That's all.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to do.
I understand that. I don't know how you say, well, we're standing behind this guy because he did the right thing. And in some of the reporting that I've seen, they're even going so far as to say the man who was the man who was killed was molesting this girl. Excuse me, but I, like I said, man, the only thing I've heard in the news is that the father came, beat this guy. The grandfather, the father of the man who did the attacking, showed up when the guy was already on the ground beaten. So there's one man that saw it, and there's a little girl that was involved. And so I suppose that they'll interview her, but I don't know what the story is, you know?
What do you ever say, man? Wouldn't you stand with the people in the town?
How can you do that? How can you do that if you don't know what happened? They must know something that the rest of us don't know, and that's very possible. They live in the town. They know the man. They know they have access to the information in the news, and they know exactly what went down, I guess. So they probably know more about it than I do. I wouldn't doubt that for in the least. Having said that, me, Phil Hendry, out here, I don't know Jack, man, and I ain't going to make any decisions based on not knowing it, and I'm sure as hell not going to get on the radio and say, hey, good job there, Dad. Why? I'm sick and tired. I won't do that. I'm not going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit making commentary about other talk shows. Suffice it to say that talk radio in America, in my opinion, is one big amateur night. There's nothing about it that's compelling or interesting to me at all, with the exception of one or two or three or four, maybe four hosts. That's it. The rest of it, I wouldn't hire these guys, man, to sell snake oil. I wouldn't have them trying to get customers up at Finocchio, standing out on the street and waving a menu. I wouldn't hire these guys to do anything. And the fact that these guys are getting the accolades they get, whatever, okay? But I know exactly how those pea brains are handling this. I know exactly how, especially the right-wing hosts, are handling this. They're pandering to the audience. They don't give a damn whether people are getting information or not. They're just pandering. Somebody posted something online that I was very grateful to see. It was Sean Hannity, who's a very nice guy, going against Christopher Hitchens, the late, great Christopher Hitchens. Let me tell you something. It was ugly. Sean Hannity in his universe is fine. But when he goes up against somebody who has not only an intellect, but a writing experience, debating experience, a man who is steeped in his philosophy as a real intellectual and thinker, Hitchens tore Hannity to shreds. Just tore him to shreds. It was like Hannity was slap fighting. Okay? That's talk radio, folks. I'm not trying to single out Sean. He's a good guy, and he does an entertaining show. But he's not an intellectual, and he certainly is not even in the same league with a bona fide world-class intellectual that Christopher Hitchens was. So when you go up, if you think you're going to debate a guy like, whoever gave Sean, buddy, if you're listening, man, where did you ever, who told you, man, that you belong in the same state with a Christopher Hitchens, let alone in the same soundstage? Are you kidding? Whoever told you that did you a disservice because you looked like a jackass. God bless you.
You know, he's going to hear it. Somebody's going to play him a tape of this.
I think I'm being very kind.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? You said that you were slap fighting, made him sound like a silly girl, man. Made him sound like some guy's tagging him in the middle of the night in a jail cell, and a guy got,
all right, well, you don't have to be that graphic.
He's going to hear it, and he's going to hate you.
I hope he doesn't hate me. I think Sean's a great guy. I think he's a wonderful guy, and he's been a nice guy to me. I'm just telling you, Sean, this doesn't do the format any good. It doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do radio any good. And I don't blame you. I blame the jackasses that run this industry that set a guy like you up and let you even get in the same room with a Christopher Hitchens. Talk radio is one thing. It's a lot of fun and games. Whoopee-doo. And we can all strut and posture. And we got a bunch of fans that think we're just all that, which we ain't. But when you get into the same on the same stage with a guy like Hitchens, he's going to rip you an ass, man. That's exactly what he did. Whoever talked you into that one, you ought to fire that guy. Or, I don't know, you know. I don't know what you would do.
Drop me out of an airplane, don't let him open the chute for 400 feet.
What?
Drop me out of an airplane, don't let him open the chute for 400 feet, I think is what he said.
Yeah!
What are you yelling? Get over here! The world famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by, if world famous, not for much longer, by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for supporting the show. Just flat thank you for everything you've done for me and more. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch the falderall that am the Phil Hendry Show. Have a beautiful weekend, you guys. I hope you do. And until Monday, let that, all of that, be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.